Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the entrance. So she came running to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one Jesus loved, and said, "They've taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they've put him. So Peter and the other disciple started for the tomb. Both were running, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent over and looked in at the strips of linen lying there, but didn't go in. Then Simon Peter came along behind him and went straight into the tomb. He saw the strips of linen lying there, as well as the cloth that had been wrapped around Jesus' head. The cloth was still lying in its place, separate from the linen. Finally, the other disciple, who'd reached the tomb first, also went inside. He saw and believed. They still didn't understand from Scripture that Jesus had to rise from the dead. Then the disciples went back to where they were staying. Now Mary stood outside the tomb crying. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb and saw two angels in white seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and the other at the foot. They asked her, "Woman, why are you crying?" "They've taken my Lord away," she said, "and I don't know where they have put him." At this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she didn't realize that it was Jesus. He asked her, "Woman, why are you crying? Who is it you're looking for?" Thinking he was the gardener, she said, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you've put him, and I'll get him." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned towards him and cried out in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said, "Don't hold on to me, for I've not yet ascended to the Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them, I'm ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene went to the disciples with the news. "I've seen the Lord," she said, and she told them that he said those things to her. This is the word of the Lord. Okay, before I open that up, I would like us, in either by ourselves or in groups of two or three or four, whoever's convenient for you, just to have a look through that passage and have a look at the surprises that are there. Not things that might surprise you now, but things that would surprise the people at the time. There's the obvious one, isn't there? Things that would surprise the people at the time, or maybe reactions that seem a little bit surprising. And it'll give us 2 or 3 minutes just to look through the passage by ourselves to see what we can, or by ourselves or in groups, to see what we can find. When you slow down and read this passage, it's such a familiar passage, isn't it? When we slow down and read it and look for the things that would have been surprising at the time, or maybe perhaps still surprising to us today when we think about it, this is quite a shocking passage, isn't it? Let's start at the top. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb. Three or four chapters earlier, when Judas went out from the Last Supper, John noted it was dark. When Jesus was crucified, what happened to the sky? It went dark. Yeah. And Mary Magdalene is going to the tomb while it is still dark. This chapter begins, doesn't it, in the realms of the crucifixion, in the realms of Jesus' death. This is where Mary Magdalene and the disciples are in their hearts and their minds on the beginning of that first day of the week. And they're in darkness. They've seen their Saviour, their Lord, their best friend, be mercilessly killed in front of their eyes. And then they've run away in fear rather than hang around as his support. It was still dark. She looks ahead of her and she sees that the stone has been removed. She's thinking, what on earth is going on here? It's been removed. So she goes and she finds Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one Jesus loved, who's almost certainly John. John certainly considered them best friends, best buddies. Goes to find Peter and John to say, it's all gone horribly wrong. You thought it was bad a couple of days ago on Friday. Well, here on Sunday, it's even worse. I went to the tomb. I was doing the right thing by Jewish burial rites. And somebody had rolled the stone away. It wasn't there anymore. And his body, it's gone. It's dark, isn't it? It's very dark. So Peter and John, probably John, go running like Usain Bolt to find out what on earth is going on. Presumably they're thinking, well, maybe they haven't got very far with his body yet. Maybe if we go looking, we'll find what they've done with him before it's too late. Maybe we'll be able to sort it. So they get to the tomb. Did you notice how the other disciple outran Peter? He got there first, but he hangs around outside. He kind of didn't go in, I think. But Peter, as is Peter's character, if we read through the Gospels, we'll be familiar that Peter is quite hot-headed sometimes. He's straight in there to go and have a look. He's the fixer, isn't he? He's going to fix the problem. Peter is going to sort it. He was the one who was going to sort the problem at the crucifixion. Lord, I will die with you. I'm going to cut off this chap's ear. I'll fight for you. Now I'm going to find your body. He went in and found the linen lying exactly where it should be. The other disciple kind of has a peer in from a distance. That would be me, to be honest. Not sure I'd want to go in. He has a good peer in to see what he can see. No lights on his phones. Presumably the sun's behind him or something. He can see into the tomb sees everything where it should be. And then Simon Peter goes straight in. Finally, the other disciple who got there first, he went in as well. And he saw and he believed. But did you notice what he believes? They still didn't understand from Scripture that Jesus had to rise from the dead. So the other disciple has grasped that, you know, Jesus is probably risen from the dead. He said he would. He was telling us all along that he's going to get killed and then on the third day he'd rise again. And look, we've seen the first part. Maybe this is the second part. He's understood the what, hasn't he? But he hasn't yet understood the why. We'll get to the why a little bit later on. Then the disciples went back to where they were staying. almost certainly absolutely shaken. You know that feeling you get when something you really did not expect happens and it's momentous and you're just waiting for your heart rate to calm down and it's not calming down. Even though you're somewhere else now, even though you're with other people and you just can't settle. That's how they'd be feeling, isn't it? Their world has been turned upside down for the second time in 3 days. Mary's been hanging around, hasn't she, during this time? Verse 11. Mary stood outside the tomb crying. She would, wouldn't she? This was a really emotional time for her. She can't visit the tomb of her friend because has the body been nicked? But she has a look in and she saw a couple of angels in white seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and one at the foot. Very matter of fact, isn't it? There's no repeat of the angels at the beginning of Luke's gospel saying to Mary, the other Mary, do not fear, don't be afraid. Mary Magdalene here, she's already afraid. Very matter of fact, there's a couple of angels there. And they ask her what seems like a really stupid question. Woman, why are you crying? Well, fairly obvious, isn't it? She's crying because there's no body and her friend is dead. They've taken my Lord away, she said, and I don't know where they've put him. You can feel the anguish in those words, can't you? They've taken away, I don't know, they've put him. Then she turns around and she sees somebody standing there behind her. And talk about out of context. She doesn't recognize who this is. She's got no idea that this is Jesus, but it is. He asked her as well, woman, why are you crying? Who is it you're looking for? Now, obviously, these are rhetorical questions. Jesus knows the answer to those questions. He knows that Mary Magdalene is upset because he's dead and there's no body. And he knows that she's looking for him. But he's revealing himself slowly. She thinks it's the gardener. Sir, if you've carried him away, tell me where you've put him and I will get him. That's quite improbable, isn't it, that she by herself would go and carry a dead man's body back to a tomb from wherever it was. But she's so determined. Like Peter, she wants to put it right. She wants to make the situation as least bad as it might be. And then Jesus says to her, Mary, Mary. And immediately she recognizes his voice. And she cries out in Aramaic, the language that would have been her everyday language, Rabboni, which means teacher. She's fully recognized who this is. She knows this is her Lord. Nobody has taken him away. He's alive, and he's there in front of her, speaking to her. But Jesus said to her, don't hold on to me, for I've not yet ascended to the Father. Strange words, that, isn't it? Does it mean don't hold on to me physically, don't grasp my feet, don't grasp my hand, Or does it mean don't hold on to me in your heart? I think what Jesus means here is don't think that this is it. It's not going to be like it was on Thursday, where we knocked around together and we ate together and wandered around Galilee together and all of that. Life's going to be different now. Don't expect us to be the same. Something more is going to happen. Go instead to my brothers and say to them, I am ascending, here's the more, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God. Jesus hasn't finished his massive great work of dying, rising, and being and ascending to his Father's right hand yet. He's done the first two. The third one is going to happen in a few weeks' time. And from there, he is going to, and he does now, rule all of creation. He's gone through death, he's come out the other side, and Jesus has been raised to his Father's side as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, never to be deposed. We've sung about that plenty of times already this evening, haven't we? That he is in charge of all things. Don't hold on to me. It's not going to be like it was before. It's going to be way better, says Jesus. Mary Magdalene went to the disciples with the news. I've seen the Lord. And she told them all that, all he had said. And she told them that he had said these things to her. She's going to tell the other disciples what has happened. This is a shock, isn't it? Yes, they'd be hoping that Jesus would never die, but he's died. And now, the double shock, he's alive again. Some people suggest this is wishful thinking on the disciples' parts. I think we can see from this passage alone, can't we? Let alone looking at the other gospel accounts, that they weren't even thinking that this was going to happen. Mary had gone to the tomb to tend Jesus' body. Maybe put some daffodils outside or whatever the equivalent was at the time. Peter and probably John were not expecting to find an empty tomb. They were expecting Jesus' body to be laid there like every other body was laid in the tomb still. And if we were to read later on into the chapter, we would find Thomas, called Doubting Thomas, better unbelieving Thomas, or initially unbelieving Thomas, who didn't even believe this was Jesus, stood there in front of him. He was expecting it so little. And yet, these people believed. They believed the evidence that was in front of their faces because it was absolutely irrefutable. Out of the disciples, most of them went on to die for their faith in the risen Jesus Christ. And John was incarcerated on a Greek island in old age. You wouldn't die for something you didn't think was true, would you? You wouldn't go to prison as an octogenarian for something you didn't think was true, would you? This is absolutely true that Jesus rose from the dead. It's absolutely true that he's at his Father's side. He's gone to his Father and our Father, to his God and our God, to rule and to rule as head of the church, to rule as the one who loves his people with a love that went right to the cross, with a love that we can't even begin to imagine the whole of. And he rules with that love and with that goodness. And he is the one who all authority has been given to. He is the one who is alive. And he's alive forevermore. He's not going to die again. This is a done deal. In our reading, he'd done the death and the resurrection. Now he's done the ascension as well. This is our God, our living Jesus Christ. Maybe you're here and you're thinking, did this really happen? Well, have a read through this passage again. Because if that's what you're thinking precisely what those disciples were thinking. Or maybe you're here thinking, oh, I know this happened, but I'm finding it hard to feel it tonight, today. Well, read this passage again. Put yourself in Mary's position. Feel the anguish. Feel her anguish. And then feel her joy at the resurrected Jesus. Let me pray for us. Our Father, we praise you for the resurrection of Jesus, and we give you great glory because Jesus is at your side, ruling the whole of creation benevolently with great love, and he is our head. Please would ye fill us with that inexpressible joy of knowing him personally. In his name we pray. Amen.